Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 307 of She Podcast, aka The Bedcast.
The Bedcast. I'm just going to lean back as well.
Yes, you're bedcasting as well. I forgot. Yes, Elsie and I are both in bed, but not for any kind of exciting reason.
Nor are we together.
So. And sadly, we are not together. Although, yeah. Even if we were, it would probably also not be very exciting. But
no,
I digress.
Yes, I know.
I don't know. The last time you two ladies were in the bed together and podcasting was one of the funniest episodes that I can ever remember because you would both lean into the microphone.
Yeah, we almost bonked heads over
it. Yeah, it was the funniest. Yeah, we laughed. And I think you took off, I don't know how many minutes of us laughing.
Like 10 minutes because we couldn't get it together. Anyway, I'm Jessica Kupferman. The giggling that you hear is from Miss Elsie Escobar. And then, of course, as always, our producer, John Domingo.
What's up, everybody?
What's up?
Yeah, this is the most relaxed. I'm trying to vibe, you know, the goals. I saw a picture of Michelle Obama and Barack Obama podcasting, like leaning back, and like she has her leg up, and then they have these large like boom arms that are just coming to their faces. Ooh. And it looked so comfortable. And so I think this is my interpretation of what that is. Mm. Chilling, leaning back into pillows at my in-law's house.
They have to have 10 people off camera, right? It's just not them sitting there.
I mean, they probably do, I would think.
Yeah.
You think that's a set? You don't think that's their pad?
No.
Their cool pad?
No,
Chicago?
Of course that was their house. I mean, and also, I shared this with John offline and then Jess came in, but I have been a little bit obsessing with okay. Call Her Daddy. And I've been like listening to a lot of different episodes. And then what she does too is that she also releases a video portion of the shows. And yes, there are some times where they will do like a studio. Like there's a studio where she goes in and then her guest goes in the studio as well. And then they're like separated. But there's been a couple of times and a couple of episodes where she's gone to a house and she's done whoever her guest is. She'll go to their house. But they sit like on a couch separate from each, like way on opposite ends. And what I've seen them using, it's kind of neat. It's kind of what I'm doing right now. It looks like they're using SM7Bs on a holding, like a whole, I don't even know what it is. It kind of looks like this. I have like a tripod, a mic stand that I have put together and I'm holding it with my hand. And so they have these interesting sort of, they're not desk stands. They're like hold stands, I guess.
I would say it's like a selfie stick for a microphone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really thick though. It's not skinny. It's very thick. And that's what they use. So it's not like they're not holding the mic, of course, because it's an SM7B that's what I say. It is. It may or may not be. And that's what she's been doing. So anyway, that's interesting. So I'm kind of doing a little bit of that, too. I'm leaning back, holding my mic, and chilling.
Yeah, so a boom pole, Clara says.
A boom pole. That's what is.
Who knew?
That's such a good word.
That's a
boom pole is my new favorite word.
Boom pole. Yeah. And it
sounds dirty, but you can't figure out exactly how. That's why it's good.
Yeah. So I have been very impressed by the sound because you can tell that it sounds good. The entire show sounds really good and there's no hand noise. And I mean, they're holding on to the thing and they're usually very animated. So it's not like the majority of the shows that are being, I can see them. I mean, other than that, they just chill out in sweats, on couches, no shoes on, no socks on, all the stuff, just kind of chilling out.
I'm realizing right now that because it's balancing on my stomach, when I breathe, the camera moves. No, I can't laugh. I can't laugh. Don't make me laugh.
Oh, my God.
It'll honestly shake all over the place.
Well, now if you get excited or you, like, get passionate. Oh. You guys, we can't. No. This is not going to be good.
It'll be fine. Yeah. Boom pole. Boom pole. That'll boom be our pole. Safe word. That's that should be a sexual safe word. Boom pole.
I don't know if I could remember that in when I was in pain.
Boom pole. Boom pole. Boom pole. Boom pole. It does make a good safe word, doesn't it? Elsie, can we say that tonight when we're being interviewed, just in case one of us isn't saying the right thing? Jessica, boom pole. Boom pole. Oh, I don't know why that's so funny, but it is. Okay.
Oh my God. I can't breathe.
It is hilarious. So I actually have a big announcement.
Oh my gosh. What is it?
I'm leaving She Podcasts.
What?
To be a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I want to tell you I'm pregnant.
Where is all this? Where are all these announcements coming from?
Well, by the time they listen to this, it'll be after April Fool's Day.
So
I can't. I'm telling you, I can't deal with
April Fool's. I made Elsie choke on her own spit when I said I was pregnant.
Okay, I'm only doing research on getting pregnant when you're 50 because knowing me and...
No, don't say this out loud. You're going to tell
I've already said it out loud many different times.
No,
so knowing me, I am incredibly like fertile. And so I'm like, oh my God, could I?
Don't say it out loud.
I know. And so I'm just, but it seems like it's not possible. I'm a little shocked. I'm a little shocked by that. It seemed like you can if you do all the things, you know, if you go with IVF and all of the stuff. Like if you're on it and you're like, I'm, you know, 49, 50, whatever, more than 50, and you want to conceive a child.
Of course
there
you can.
Are women who have been able to do it. So again,
yes.
All power to you. Go for it. Do your thing. I was trying to do the research on whether or not you could have an oopsie when you're 50. So that's what I was looking for. I'm not like, you know, planning on it. All I'm saying is like,
is it possible that are you researching for birth control purposes? Or
no.
Are you feeling like you don't need that now because you're an old lady or what?
No,
you're not 50.
I'm having a healthy time with my lovely other half.
I see.
And
instead of having an oopsie, why can't you just go have him have a snipsy, and then you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Snipsy. Not every man is willing to have a snipsy.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know.
Maybe it would make them talk less, Elsie. Maybe we could try it, both what? Scott and Randy.
No, dude, I don't want to talk about.
If you stop the happy time. And say you won't do this anymore until the snipsy happens, there will be an appointment made that week.
No, why should we all be punished?
No. That is not okay.
I'm not stopping anybody.
Plus, I don't even know what it does. So if you have a snipsy, does that make your testosterone go down?
No.
No.
No, it just stops the...
It just stops the boys from reaching the end of the tunnel.
Right. They're all... That's it.
That's it. You've blocked it off with like some orange cones and they can no longer.
Right. It's basically like that big ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal. Mm-hmm. All the other ships behind it can't get through.
I see all the jokes, but.
Nothing else stops.
Right. That's not my. That's not my. That's like their choice. It's not my choice. But alas, though, I think that I don't know. I don't think I can. And I was just like, wow, that's interesting.
I hope you can't.
Right. Can we now move into maybe a little bit of podcasting news? That would be amazing.
The news you can use. For the informed podcaster, podcasting news.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So as of this past week, the biggest podcasting news is that now there is another directory, another big sort of app destination for podcasts that has not previously been there, which is Samsung podcasts, and it's not particularly like, it's not quite at this moment like Apple Podcasts, which is, you know, inside of the ecosystem for Apple, that now whenever you buy a specific Apple device, like an iPhone, the Apple Podcast is already in there. This is for some of the Samsung devices, and they are the Galaxy, primarily the Galaxy devices, Galaxy S21, the Galaxy S20, Galaxy Note 20, Galaxy S10, and the Galaxy Note 10. So any of you who happen to be listening or watching or whatevs, if you're listening or watching, yay, Cheryl, if you are listening or watching and you have one of these, I would love to see what it looks like. And if you would like to call us and leave us some feedback about it, it would be amazing. There were 100, so they had some partners in the biz, if you will, in the podcast hosting spaces. And Libsyn was one of the partners. And Libsyn launched with 100 of our shows that were submitted into Samsung. And, you know, She Podcast is one of them, which is fantastic. Yay. And really great. So we do have, we have it there. And of course, I haven't been able to see it because I do not have a Samsung device. And so this, it's like there's a listen. It makes zero sense. Now I feel like what Apple, you know, Android owners generally feel, because this is totally, like it says, you know, Libsyn, it's in the listen tab of Samsung Free. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, cool. Like you're going to just repeat it, because it seems like that's what it is. So it's in the listen tab.
So, yay.
Yay. So I hope it's there. And so that's exciting. That just means that Android users, or at least Android users, I don't know how expensive the Galaxy tabs or the, you know, Galaxy devices are. It might be is that a higher end kind of thing, John? Do you know anything about?
Well, yeah, that? It is one of the better ones. But see, so I still have my Android phone, the Google Pixel. That way I can always turn it on and test things out, and I update mm-hmm. the stuff. So I did go to see if I can get it on mine, and I cannot. So it is a Samsung thing. But here's the thing, like all these new destinations are coming out and you go to use them and the interfaces, I'm not saying this is because I have no idea, I haven't seen it yet, but the interfaces are horrible. They're hard to listen to, especially if you have a favorite one. Like for me, it's Overcast. You can do all these crazy things. Like if you know somebody has like 2 minutes of commercials and a 30-minute intro, you can just start the podcast at 2:30, and every time you hit the play, it's right into the show. I just think that when you find something that you fall in love with, are you going to go try something new? I don't think you will. I don't know, but people will find it.
Yeah, but this isn't for those of us who are already, you know, committed relationships, John.
Correct.
This is for people who have not committed to a relationship with podcasts. Right. And so it's like they're just starting a process of discovering what these things are. And one of the reasons that it's so great for Samsung, this specific stepping into the industry, is because this is built in. They don't have to go and they don't have to download anything. It's already built into these devices. And so it's going to be there, and they're going to be able to listen to these shows. They don't know what they don't know. At this point, most people, some people that aren't particular podcast listeners just listen to podcasts because people started talking about them, not because they are podcast listeners. So this is, again, outside of the norm. And it's more, again, making the pie bigger versus getting you to go listen there. I really don't think that that's a thing. It's sort of like, oh, my podcast can be there now, and that's it.
I know, but I always think that I'm going to be lured away from my smoking hot podcast app, Overcast.
You won't.
And I go over because it's like,
smoking hot.
Yeah, hey, babe, let me take a look. And I'm like, nah, you know what? No.
Nah.
Nah.
No, it's like, and I'm totally, I am so used to I use Castro, and I love Overcast as well. So I have use cases for both, but my everyday consumption is Castro. So any step that is beyond what I'm used to, I immediately, I'm like, I break up with you. It's like, nope. It's not going to, we're never going to work. Like, right. It immediately does that. So because I know that behavior, I know how much time I have, and I know that I'm not going to be figuring out all the stuff. And for Castro, we do all the, they have that same thing too, where you have like your premium user, you can do a per podcast and do exactly what you said. This is one of my favorite podcasts. They open up and the intro is a minute and it's annoying as all get out. I can just skip the intro.
Exactly.
And be done with it. And it automatically does it for you because it's set at the app level. So it saves me so much time and wanting to pull my hair out, because there are some shows that I'm just like, ugh, make this intro go away, or there's way too many commercials.
I agree. I'm so tired of people and their intros and their intro music and their ladies and gentlemen. I feel like it could be a trend. But lately, when I have a client, I sort of tell them, drop the intro. Definitely drop the voiceover guy. Because it's such a waste of ear
space.
And
it needs to be shorter. Like, that's one thing that I've noticed. It's great. Like, if you had that longer intro for a show, it would be amazing to have that as part of your trailer, right? It would be like the first episode.
Yeah.
Welcome to whatever. It's a podcast about blah, 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 and blah, 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 right? It doesn't – but – if you can do it in 15 seconds,
yeah,
you're golden. If it's anything longer than that, I can tell you from being somebody who works and listens to a lot of podcasts, and oftentimes I'm doing consulting on people's work, and I often listen to more than two, sometimes up to five. Sometimes I go crazy when I really love the show and I listen to the entire back catalog. That I have to say, the majority of the time, I end up skipping the first minute or so of almost every podcast because they don't realize. I think people think like, this is my show. They don't realize how annoying that is when somebody's binge listening. And the shorter the show is, the worse it is. So like for the feed, I do have an intro that is the same-ish at the beginning. But it's like a 60 to 90 minute show. So if you're binging on it, it's not going to be as intrusive.
I used to have this whole pump up for Lady Business Radio. Do you remember?
I loved it. I did.
But imagine binging it. I mean, it was not short.
No, it wasn't short.
But I mean, the purpose of it was just to get people psyched.
Yeah, no, but the thing is, with the Liz, I liked it, but I also didn't binge listen to your show.
Right.
I listened to a few, like,
why would you?
No, because the thing with your show is that I picked and choose, like,
chose.
It's like, yeah. And I picked and chose it, not because of the guests, but because of the guest plus Jessica.
Right.
So I had heard, like, a lot of the guests that you had have been on other shows. And I was like, I'm not interested, but. A Jessica interview is a different thing. So that's why I listened to those episodes.
So
but I was very specific. I was like, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. So, but I wasn't binging. But it's true. And I think when it comes to shorter shows, like particularly anything that's a 20-minute show, a 10-minute show, you must get that intro super short. Because if not, people are not going to binge it, and you're going to be the annoying person that it's like, oh my God, I can't stand that.
Yeah, I'm used to that, but yeah.
A brand new show, if you have one that just kind of describes the show real quick, almost like an elevator pitch.
Yeah.
If it's a brand new show, so then when you listen to it, it says, okay, this is the show, and we're going to talk about this. Okay, I get that. But then after 25, 30 episodes, you might want to just have a new intro. Everybody's skipping it. If it's more than 30 seconds, everybody's hitting that button or timing it out. But in the very beginning, if it's a brand new podcast and a podcast and nobody knows what it's about, if you have like a short elevator pitch in the beginning, I think it does work pretty well. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends, because a lot of my favorite shows have no description at the beginning. It's just like the music.
I don't think you need it anymore.
And then it just
really
starts.
Don't.
And then we just do our thing. Mind you, though, Jess, it does depend. It depends on what you're doing, why you're doing your show. There are some shows that it's great if you do have that intro, but it has to be succinct and it has to be super short. But even the more businessy ones, like one of my, I talked about this show so many different times, and I, every time I listen, I'm always like, I want a show. It's like I have show envy. Like it's the show that I love the way that it's produced. It's called Marketplace Tech. It's a 10 to 15 minute show. And the way that it's outlined, it is on point, man. And the minute the music starts, she starts talking. She takes like by the first, like, I think in less than 60 seconds, I know exactly what the show is about. I know exactly what that episode is about. I know what's going to be covered, and on we go. Like it gets, and I'm like, ooh, that sounds like a great thing. And she, like, her pitch at the beginning of every episode is phenomenal. Yeah. Really, she has an interview and she has takeaway in a fifth, like a third. This last episode I just listened to was 13 minutes. And I felt like I listened to like a 60 minute in-depth whatever. She's so good. So it can be done, but it's well thought out. And it's a daily show. I don't know how they do that.
And then the other thing I like too is if they pull a clip from the interview, like a little piece of the interview, kind of almost like a teaser, like a bait. You know, here it is. And I'm like, ooh, I want to hear that. Oh, I like that. But then if you listen to it, you take the chance where you put that in there and they're like, nah, and they just click off and it's over.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's like whatever. But I actually, this woman was very upset this weekend. There was a woman who was, there was a woman who was very upset that her show was not released. And so I, mind you, on weekends, like I have to field a lot of these requests that are coming up from folks that are having a hard time. And I looked at her show really quick just to see that whatever she was saying was true, because a lot of people don't really know what they're saying either. So you kind of have to feel that out. So I went and found her show and I downloaded it just to listen. She had a minute and 30 seconds of music.
Oh, no.
I kept on pushing that, like the go forward. And I'm like, does she talk? Does she talk on this thing? A minute 30. Who's going to keep?
That's a lot.
That's a lot, right?
That could be the most amazing music. And I would, a minute 30 is still way too long.
It's way too long with no talking. Like I could understand a minute 30 of music with like a voiceover or something, right?
Do not approve.
But I agree. So I will ask from folks who happen to have any kind of Galaxy device that is, supporting the Samsung podcasts to send us some voice feedback over at feedback@shepodcast.com so that we can share your thoughts on it and see how it goes. Now, we are going to have a link in the show notes that is a Libsyn blog post. So it is a little bit biased towards Libsyn. If you are hosted on Libsyn, you can read that blog post and then you can request to be added to the list once they start to add more people into the Samsung Podcasts directory. I think that's what it's, I don't even know if it's a directory, an app, whatever it is, because right now it's not open. It's not like a general public kind of thing. Like anybody can just sign up. So I will have that. All right.
So what else is happening?
So this next thing here is, again, Libsyn-centric. Sorry. It's all Libsyn newsy type thing.
Is this the feed? What are we?
This is not, I know it's not the feed, but this is actually going to, this is affecting people beyond, you know, just the normal stuff.
Oh, sure. Just use it up.
Yes, I'm using it up. So Libsyn 5 is at the time of this recording, you can go to 5.libsyn.com if you go to that URL and you can sign if you are a Libsyn user. So this is for Libsyn users. You can go to that URL and you can sign in using your existing username and password, like what you already use. You can sign in and then you can see what Libsyn 5 looks like. And it is like the new publishing behind the scenes interface, the new publishing dashboard. It has all of the things that you need in order to get your show out. So anything that has to do with destinations, anything that has to do with adding artwork, anything that has to do with publishing a file, what else? There's the HTML5 player that we've been using for a while that we have on our on our blog. You can use that. And there's also a new podcast page that you can also have access to, which is a lot more streamlined. It's very slick. It's mobile friendly, and it has all these really fun things on it. So anyway, that is what you can have for Lips in 5, and it's accessible for you now. Mind you, it is not finished. So there are some things that are, as of now, not yet released that are not in Lips in 5. You still have access to Lips in 4, so you can go through whichever one you want to go to. It's not like, you know, how when you go inside of Facebook or Twitter and it says, you know, pick the new Facebook, and then you click the little knob and then you're kind of stuck with the new one. It's not like that. You can actually log in to login.libsyn.com, which is Libsyn 4. And then there is 5.libsyn.com, which is Libsyn 5. And they are just, they're separate. You can still use both and they talk to each other. It's the same sort of back end-ish, I guess. So you can find all the things. The reason that I'm still with Libsyn 4, I mean, I know Libsyn 5 and I've been going into Libsyn 5 for almost everything. But the thing that I don't do is because I like to, whenever we cross post to Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and stuff like that, you can personalize those places in the publishing workflow. You can personalize what you want to say. So if I can actually put a little mini summary of our episode every time it goes out. In Libsyn 5, you can't do that yet. It's a feature everybody's requesting, so they're going to be adding all of these things slowly but surely, but that's something that on Libsyn 5, if I were to just publish to all those destinations, all that it would show would be the title of the episode. So it would just be like the title of the best episode, like, you know, episode, what is this, 309, is that right? 307. So it'll be like episode 307, whatever the title is, that's it. Like, it won't have anything else in it. And that is one of the things that I have been waiting for. And that's like my big thing. The thing that I'm like, come on, guys, give this to me and I'll be in there all day, every day. So, but from now on, though, if anybody opens up a Libsyn account, they're going to go straight into Libsyn 5. That's really the big news. It's like new interface. You guys haven't gone in it. Have you gone in it, John?
I'm trying right now and I can't find it.
You can't find 5.libsyn.com?
5.libsyn.com, right?
Yeah, like that. You spell it out. F-I-V-E. Oh. Yeah, not five as in the number five. 5.libsyn.com. And you just sign in with your own stuff and all of the things. And...
Oh, man. How about that?
Are you guys laughing? Do you see something? Do you see things now?
I'm in.
Why would we laugh at you? You're never funny.
You are hilarious. Yeah, right.
No, I like it. I like it a lot.
I'm going to send this to you. I haven't, I just texted you the new The Feed website, or it's like the podcast page. It's not, I haven't gone in there and like customized it, you know, and like changed fonts and things like that. You can do that. And also for Libsyn 5, there's a branding area. You know how Canva has the little branding area where you can pick all your colors and you pick all your fonts and stuff like that. So Libsyn 5 has that as well. They'll add a little area.
No way.
Yeah. So you can pick all your little colors and you can pick, they have Google fonts in there too. So you can pick the Google font that you want to go with your stuff. Yeah. Look at that. See, there's like the feed.libsyn.com.
It looks great.
Yeah, I would change, like, I'm not sure I like the white. Like, I'd rather have, like, a dark mode. But, I mean, all I'm saying is I haven't gone in there and done anything. This is what it did.
But big, huge difference.
It's very nice. So yeah. I'm super, super happy. And then, again, it's really easy to, like, have people subscribe to your show and all the great places. Anyway. Mm-hmm. That's all I have podcasting-related news. I think that, is there anything else that you want to talk about? Missy, I know. It's just that I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah, we have been recording for an hour, but we didn't get a chance to talk about our troll, but we can do that next time.
No, we can talk about the troll right now. I'm just saying I don't think we have enough time.
Or we can talk about it right now.
Or we can talk about the troll.
That's fine.
That was our first troll.
That was our first troll. But before we get into the troll, folks, I think that one thing that we did not mention at the beginning of the show at all, we mentioned that Jess was on her bed and we mentioned that I was also on my bed, which is kind of weird because you didn't know why we were on our beds. So I will tell to you
why. I guess we didn't. We forgot part.
Yeah. So then, therefore, they're hearing a different quality in audio from Jess. But I'll let Jess tell the story. I'm going to tell my story really quick. We came to Pittsburgh for the week. And we came almost specifically so that I could go to the dentist. So that's another story for another day. But so I'm in Pittsburgh. And when I'm in Pittsburgh, I don't really have a place where I can go record. So I'm in the bedroom that we all sleep in, Nanny's house. And I have a little table and I have all my stuff set up. And this is really the only place that I have in the house where I can come record. And it is a bed. There are no desks. There's nothing in this room that would be a better place for me to record at the moment. So that is why I'm on my bed. You go now.
I am on my bed because I, for the life of me, could not connect to Wi-Fi in my office. We have a separate router that is in the dining room, which is as close to my office as it could get. It just was not connecting and not connecting. Most likely that's because we lost power a bunch of times yesterday because we had a big storm. So rather than stay downstairs where my husband, my son, my mother-in-law, and my housekeeper are, I decided I would come upstairs for the quiet, something that I get so rarely.
And the internet speed.
Oh, and the internet speed's really good up here. Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. But also the quiet. All I think about is solitude and quiet. So, yeah.
That is nice. And therefore, now we can move on to the troll.
The troll.
I hope that Jess doesn't fall asleep as she's talking about
it. You know, I am in bed. It's like muscle memory, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just happens, I think.
All right. Well, the troll, though. The troll's not going to make you fall asleep.
So, last week, we were streaming via, as you do, via YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Now, on Twitter, when you live stream, you do Periscope, which, as far as I can tell, no one uses ever.
Right, and it's going to go away March 31st, so it'll already be dead by the time this show goes live.
But before that happened, we had to have a troll come on.
Yeah.
So what we were discussing at the time was Elsie not allowing us to do something.
Pineapples, not use pineapples.
Yes. She had forbidden pineapples from the branding because although I feel they are welcoming, there is some kind of underlying cultural misappropriation happening with pineapples.
I found out swingers use them to say that they're swingers. Who knew?
I remember that now.
Well, all right.
You say that, that's totally true. But yeah, so I was saying that. So then the troll, someone from Periscope who I thought was participating, called her a Nazi and said, Elsie the Nazi. And I was like, well, wait a second. She's not that. At first, I thought he was on my side. So I laughed.
Yeah, me too. Because I was like, what a silly dude. I thought he was being silly, but still, you don't be silly with Nazis, mind you.
But then he called me pork chop. And I just like for a minute there. And if you were watching during the video, I went like this. And I just sat there for a minute because I didn't even know what to say because no one's ever. The only time I've ever been made fun of for my weight was at John Lee Dumas's roast. And I wrote those jokes. I wrote my own fat jokes. So I was shocked. And then he kept calling me mouth breather.
It was really interesting to see that because the first thing, you know, with the whole Nazi calling, we kind of like pseudo laughed. Pseudo was like, what else? You know, and just and like you just kind of like what you just kept going. Right. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw that, I think what happened is like that instantly got a response like that instantly got a response. And so when he saw that, it was like, gotcha. And he just went all
started
in.
Started hammering the feed with
he just started hammering. And it was like pork chop, pork chop, pork chop, pork chop.
It was
mouth
awful.
Mouth breather, mouth breather, mouth breather. And just went, I mean, not, he wasn't just saying the word. He was
no,
like.
But I also insulted him. I said he was obnoxious and stupid and I could always lose weight.
I don't think he was listening at that point. I think he was just.
I don't know if he was. Yeah. It didn't help probably.
Yeah. And mind you, when he saw that, it was like really, so.
It was like an invitation almost.
It was an invitation.
So immediately John was like, I'm going to get rid of him. And then Elsie and I just went about taping, you know, we just like kept running the show like nothing was happening.
Right.
And I was trying not to look at the comments, but it's like looking at a, you know, train wreck full of, you know, murder. You can't help it. So I kept like, I kept peeking just to go back and forth to see if the guy was gone. And Elsie and I were like, all of a sudden we were like super engaged with what was going on because we were like trying to like block out the fact that we had a troll and someone was getting rid of that person. It was like very stressful.
It was very stressful. And I like, I had to change to the private chat because I was like, I cannot look at, and the thing is, and so here's the problem, everybody, which was like something that we found via StreamYard, which we love, is that when you're on StreamYard, you don't have a compiled, the comments that are happening in all the different places, we can see all of them ourselves. Like we can see all of your threaded comments or everybody talking in one place, and we can see where they're coming from. But you, as somebody who's watching, those of you who are on Facebook can see the other people on Facebook. Those of you who are on YouTube can see the other people on YouTube, but you can't see each other. You can if we would have embedded that in another place, which we are not doing. So the thing is that we can't like just kick those people out. Like if we wanted to kick one of you guys out right now, how do you even do that? Like we would have to go to each individual place and kick you out there. So from here, Jess would have to go and log into YouTube, look at the comments, find the person, and then block them or remove them via that specific place. We're not doing, we're not monitoring all the different places and all the stuff. And Periscope is even more challenging because Periscope is an app.
Right.
It's an, you know, it's like a, it's this kind of an app. So you have to not only be signed in as your account, meaning our, the sheep, we had to be as a, you had to be signed in as a She Podcast, like as She Podcast in order for you to get access to that. And it was just not okay. Not okay.
I missed half the show. When I edited the show, I was like, I don't even remember them talking about this because I was so focused on trying to get rid of him. And I was, searching through Twitter to find his username and block him. And I was even in the She Podcast Twitter account and he would not come up under my searches. And I was like, am I doing this right? Am I, I'm like every letter, I'm checking every letter because his name was like real long and I couldn't find him. So finally I just said, you know what? Sorry, Twitter, you don't get the show anymore. And I just deleted the tweet. It was the only way to stop it.
Yeah. It was awful. I was trying to figure out if I, how I felt about it. Like I was sitting there thinking about whether or not I should feel something about it or if I should just let it go or if I should be upset or if I should ignore it. And there was a lot, you know, and then I posted in She Podcast what happened. And I did hear, you know, I just wanted to kind of like let people know that it happened, like without as much emotion as possible. But I still got a lot of like, don't let him steal your joy. Which I was like, he's not going to steal my joy, but it certainly made me grouchy. Like, it made me very grouchy for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I was pissed.
And also, we got a lot of folks, too, though, Jess, that were like, Periscope is infamous for that. Like, we got so many people saying exactly, when I was in Periscope, this happened to me. Like, it seems that the behavior that when trolls are left to their own devices and they have an in, they will just continue to do that, right? There, it's like, oh, this is a great place where I can do the things. Whereas on, you know, Facebook Lives and YouTube has had to deal with this at a much larger scale. So I think the way that things like that are managed is a lot better. And I feel that also folks can monitor themselves even more, right? They can tag, they can flag people. They can make sure like there's stuff happening in that respect there. But and even with, you know, with Facebook, one thing that's really great with them is that you can not necessarily even delete comments, but you can hide comments. So that's also a good thing because sometimes when you delete a comment, it sends a message to them and it could actually escalate things even more because it's sort of like, why did you take me out? Blah. But if you hide their comment, they think they're still there, but nobody else can see what they're saying. So it's even better because they're like, blah, 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 and nobody's responding. And so they kind of feel like really dumb.
Right.
Look, Tamara, look at what she said. She said, Periscope is toxic. glad it's shutting down. So I have a feeling that that was a thing. And yeah, it is totally shutting down as of tomorrow, that March 31st. We're recording on a Monday, or the 29th. So I think on the 31st, it's going to be gone.
I agree. But it was a little bit toxic, but
yeah.
I was panicked. I could not get this guy. I was like, why can't I find him? Am I doing something wrong? You know, am I the, you know, slow down, breathe, mm-hmm. make sure you get the name right and all. And then finally, aww. I was like, this is enough. I've had enough. I'm just going to kill the whole, I'm just going to delete the tweet and then he's done. Yeah. I'm just going to shut the whole thing down. I've been on podcasts as a guest, and it's a comedy somewhat podcast, and there are a lot of trolls in the comments, and they're just rolling through. And you, same thing like Elsie says, you got to just almost put something over them mm-hmm. so you can't see them, because you cannot not look at them. You can't stop.
It's like watching a murder happen right before your very eyes. It was impossible to look away. At least for me, it was.
It's like, I don't know if I don't think that that's like a, that's the right metaphor for me. I think the, it was sort of like,
sorry.
The way that is, it's sort of like when you know somebody, it's getting hurt. Like somebody's going to get hurt. Like if somebody's hurting aww. Somebody that you love and you aww. you can't do anything about it. It's like, yeah. And so that's where the panic comes from, where it's like, it's happening. And so there's one way of our behavior. And I think this is what we were discussing before. There's like the streaming stuff. There's this stuff like we're here and people are seeing us and we're doing a show. Like we're having one conversation, but the inside of me was like, how do I make that stop? This is just totally not okay. And so you go through awful. Like fear and anxiety and like pissed off and confusion and totally not able to concentrate because you're thinking three or four other thoughts at the same time that we're trying to have a conversation. And John, I have to say, after I heard the episode afterwards, I was like, okay, I didn't sound so totally out of it, because I honestly thought, I can't remember what we talked about. Like I had blanked out.
I don't know how you did it.
My mouth was opening and we were talking about stuff. And I thought, I don't even know if I made sense. Like I thought, oh my gosh, I probably sound like I'm not paying attention. Like I really thought like there was no end to the thoughts. But then after I listened, I was like, oh, okay.
I did make sense. I was like having an out of body experience.
Yeah, it was sort of like
I don't remember
that.
The rest of the show. I have no idea what we talked about.
Yeah.
It's exactly.
Me
the same.
Neither. And that's why when I listened back, I was like, I was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't as sucky as I thought it was.
I just also was curious whether or not the people who were watching could tell that it was not.
That there
like,
was something.
Did they know or?
I think they knew something was going on, but they weren't sure what it was.
Right.
Because I was off into not even paying attention. I'm using my phone to try to ban, you know, to get in there and ban them. And that wasn't working. And I had turned my microphone down because I was cursing because I couldn't find out where this guy was.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and then I just said, screw it. I'm just killing. I'm killing.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, can I kill the tweet? And when I saw I could delete the tweet, I said, okay, that's what we're doing right now. We're deleting the tweet. But and again, I don't even know how long it took, but it felt like it took an hour. It was crazy how long it
took. And I think that the other thing that was like, you know, when people are telling us or on the post that you did on She Podcast, it's like, you know, people are saying like, don't let them steal your joy. I have to say that that's the first thing that left, you know, because we started the show.
That's exactly what happened. He stole our joy.
Yeah.
Immediately.
We were laughing. I forgot how we started, but it was like hilarious. I remember I felt so happy. I had like every time we get on and we have conversations, it's hilarious. It's funny. I enjoy it. Right. And I thought like, oh my God, this is so great. And then it really felt like it stole our joy. Like it stole my joy. Like I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Well, that's why I thought I brought that stupid mask on today that it would make you laugh, because I almost just wore a hoodie. I was very tempted to wear it and just cover my face, because
I got to be honest with you, Jess, I forgot about it. I forgot about it too.
I didn't even register. What registered to me was like, why is she outside?
Oh, well, that's because
And then I thought, why is she wearing a mask?
It was a kick mask.
I didn't even read it.
I thought it was funny. It doesn't matter how many times you're told he's not worth it, he's bored, he's this, he's that. Like, I don't give a fuck about him. I care that that's the thing he got me on because it's true, because I feel like it's true. And as a result, it stole my joy, probably stole our joy, because it was that.
Yep.
It wouldn't have stolen my joy if it was because I was Jewish or short or had frizzy hair. But that is the one thing that I'm not sensitive about it, because obviously I have a fucking mirror so I can see that I'm a, I don't want to say a pork chop, but I can see that I'm fluffy or, you know, spread out. Or what's the other word I use? Smushy. My new one is smushy. I can see that I'm smushy, but I'm also like, I have been mindfully trying to work on it. And so it sort of undid a lot of the mind games I've been playing about. You don't know this, Elsie, but for other people who have ever tried to lose weight or weren't comfortable in their body, you start thinking, well, you start plotting out a strategy like, I'm going to drink more water and I'm not going to eat between this hour. And then I'm going to cut, you know, like there's a strategy that's always in the front of your mind that you have to pay attention to in order to not eat everything you want or not eat your emotions or not eat mindlessly. If you're in front of the television, like you have to think about it constantly. And so that's the one thing I think about a lot. And it just kind of like, put it right, you know, kind of like how Isaac was like, look at this pillow. Like, that's kind of what it did to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Only about my weight, and it hurts.
Right.
It hurt. That hurt, even though he didn't hurt me. Does that make sense?
Yes. Like, no, I understand. It's like, it is that thing.
I didn't give him power, but like, it hurt.
Yeah. And I think that, no, but yes, there's been times when it's the thing that, at least for me, that I've fought back, or it's like it hurts so much when I recognize it within myself, where it's like you hate it. It's sort of like, I guess another real simple way to think about it is like, if you are as a kid, this used to happen to me all the time when I was a little kid, where I was like, you know what, I should really make my bed. You know, and I had that thought, I should really make my bed. And I was coming into the bedroom to make my bed, and then my mom would go, can you please make your bed? And I was like,
ugh. Right.
And then I got really pissed and I didn't make my bed. Because I'm like, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it was obviously that's not exactly right. But it's that feeling of like, I know.
Yes.
I know.
Like, you don't have to tell me. I already know.
Jess and I had Elsie in one of those predicaments where we were talking about something that she didn't want us to talk about. And she was trying to shut us down. And we were like, I don't know why she's so upset about this. It's only a piece of fruit. And then we were kind of going back and forth. And Elsie's going, stop it. So we don't usually get Elsie into that kind of condition anymore.
No,
it was kind of fun. And it stole the joy out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It stole it out of everything. Yeah, we were talking about, that's right, the pineapple. I couldn't even make fun of her about being a pineapple taskmaster.
That's right. That's what it was. It's like we never finished that thought.
That argument. And that
argument.
Delightful little argument.
Yeah. It was like interrupted in the
Our
middle of the
thing. Our whole train of thought, everything.
Yeah, I couldn't even finish the thought. Now I remember, because it was like, I was about to say like the whole finished thought, and then it sucked it out of my brain. I was like,
You guys may not realize this, and I'm only going to say it because I'm sure I'm not the only person that does this, and I'm doing it right at this moment, actually. You don't realize, though, like, when you get to a point where you're, you know, I do Facebook Lives at least one, if not two a week, because we do QA, how, you know, I can see myself. Like, I'm very self-conscious about how much of my chin is showing, what angle I'm showing myself. Like, it is on my mind every second that I am live. Every second you guys can see me, I'm thinking about who thinks I look fat and how fat do I actually look, and is it embarrassing fat or is it just like normal cute fat, you know, and am I like bordering between cute fat and circus fat and like, you know, like, it's constant. It is constant. So, and not only that, but like, I also have avoided doing video for fun. I used to like do Instagrams and Snapchat chats and TikToks. You know, there's a billion people on TikTok who are just lip syncing to other people's audio. And I could do that no problem, but I feel too unseemly to do it. And then I look at other people do it and I'm like, well, that person's ugly as hell. I'm not ugly. I'm just fat. I mean, and that makes no sense. But in your head, you're like, how come this ugly person feels so great about how they look and they should wear a bag over their head? And I, you know, I'm fluffy, but I mean, I'm not frightening to look at. And here I, you know, and yet I can't bring myself to do it. It really, it kind of brought all that to the surface too. Like, what do I even, who am I hiding from? If that's going to happen anyway to my face, then right. what do you hide for? Why bother hiding if someone's just going to be like, you're fat? Like, okay, well, fine, I'm fat.
Well, I have to say, though, I mean, yes, I get that. But at the same time, though, when somebody gets that thing that really you have feelings, very strong feelings about, those that thing that you okay, there was a word that my ex used to call me. I'm not going to say the word, but there was a word that he would always say to me. That was very, it made me feel very insecure, and it hit me in places where I didn't quite know how I felt. Like it was a place where I had no sense of confidence. Like I had no sense of who I was, and yeah. I didn't quite do it. And he would do that when we were fighting or when there was a specific thing that he wanted me to do. It was how he manipulated me. Mm-hmm. And so the more he said this word over and over, the more I believed it. The more that yeah. I believed it, and the more it messed with who I was as a person. Yes. And so I challenge that. You're saying if somebody keeps calling you fat in whatever live things, if there are more trolls coming in and there's people who pile on each other and they just go off on you, I don't think you're going to be like, oh, whatever. I think it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
I can't, as your friend, say, just do it and put yourself in a place where it doesn't matter what they say to you. Like, I would say go in safe places. Like, you know, with She Podcast or like our community here is for the most part pretty safe. It feels comfortable. And so does the Super Squad. It's a safe place. I don't know if I would be open to just going out to all the places and being like, hello, here I am all doing the lip sync. Because right. it doesn't matter. They're going to hit you where you feel the most yeah. uncomfortable. They're going to do it.
But 2 days later, I had an epiphany.
And yes, I think
that's related.
Dude.
Maybe.
You did. But mind you, Jessica, every
time epiphanies.
I know. But now when I'm looking at you, Jess, you are slowly disappearing into like a puddle. Like every time I look over
at
you,
melting.
You're like melting. And then like the top is like getting bigger. And then I only see the top of your head. Like you're like.
You're right. My fuzz. Yeah, it's true.
But there's like all this space. Like from here to the thing. You're like slowly becoming smaller. I'm like, what the heck's going on? Yes, that's much better. I was like, what's happening? I know. It's like.
The show is over when Jess slitters from the screen.
I know she slithered. It's like she dropped it.
I bet you guys didn't know that I could do an impression of a pat of butter melting.
Oh my God, Jess. Honestly.
It's a good impression, you have to admit. You know, when I lose weight, I won't be able to do that impression anymore, but for now, it's pretty funny.
I think we can all sort of do that. But anyway.
All right. Not you, but that's fine. You keep telling yourself that. Anyway. So yeah, so then I had an epiphany about apathy and how, you know, I should stop trying to act like I don't care about anything because it actually does hurt you when you're apathetic about everything.
Yeah.
And I think that that's probably what triggered that, you know, that I've spent so long denying that I cared about stuff that was really bothering me because it was like a survival tactic. It was mm-hmm. a way for me to function was by being apathetic to what was going on around me because my daughter was sick and she was doing things that I couldn't handle. And I mean, like logically and logistically, I could handle what she was doing enough to fix it. But emotionally, I just built this wall that prevented me from having real feelings about what was happening. And that kind of stayed there when she passed away. And it kind of stayed there after she passed away. But it kind of seeped into other things. It seeped into how often I do my hair or how often I do makeup or how often I buy myself clothes or how often I do my nails or Do I care about what my house looks like? If there's something broken, I don't care if it's fixed. If there's a room that, if I buy art for a wall, it could sit there for 6 months because I don't care if it goes up. Like, it seeps into everything. It's seeped into our business. It's seeped into our podcast. I mean, I don't know how much apathy I had before this, but like, I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to do the show notes now. Well, wait a minute. I don't care that much yet. But it does seep into everything you do. And then it's like, I realized it's like a poison. I mean, you do it to protect yourself, but then you end up doing QAs looking like a homeless person. And that's when you know, like, oh, this might be too much apathy. Like, maybe I should, you know, I mean, because like, there was a while there during the pandemic where I couldn't color my hair. And I just thought, I'm just going to go balls out ugly. I'm just going to not do any makeup. I won't shower. There were days when it was just like, hi. And I see myself now on those videos and I'm like, why did I do that to myself? I don't know. It's all part of the process, I guess. So being heavy is a part of that. Not caring if you're fat is not the same as body positive, I don't think.
Right.
And not caring if you're healthy is not the same as treating yourself or listening to your body. It just means you're treating yourself like shit. Think about all the things, you know, I don't know. Anyway, so it was an epiphany. It was a slightly unrelated epiphany about that. So I don't know. I just kind of think that's important.
It is.
Because I wonder how many people are not doing their podcast during this pandemic because apathy has seeped into their coping mechanisms and they just don't, you know, if you don't care, you don't do it. You don't want to care about what's happening. Therefore, you don't have to do anything that makes you feel something because it's too hard. Sometimes it is too fucking hard to feel. Mm-hmm. It just is. But I kind of wanted to talk about it because for those of you who are listening right now, what is it that you're refusing to feel something about? Is it poisoning that thing? Is it poisoning momentum or your Instagram feed that you've worked hard on or your shoe collection? I don't know. Or your friendships or your relationships or your, you know, like how many people have you stopped talking to that you saw every day because it just hurts that you don't have them right now? Like, don't let those things, you know, apathy is, it's not hatred, but it's an equal opportunity offender when it comes to negativity. It's negativity disguised as protection, but it's not. I don't think it is. That's what I've decided. Also, medical marijuana can provide these epiphanies for you too.
Well, I think I'll layer like another thing that I responded back to you as well, because yes, all of the things that you said, but the thing that I think that I saw from the core of what you shared with me is that if you were to dig all the way through, it's about pain. It's about dealing with pain and being able to manage the loss.
It's hard.
A big loss that you had. And your capacity as a human to be able to deal with and go through all of the great, because it's like, I mean, yeah, huge. And so what I asked for you was like, for you to reach out to somebody, a professional,
yes,
that can hold the space for you to go ahead and feel the pain. Because I think that, yes, what is holding us back and all that stuff, I think we can hear it here. But I also I'm really a proponent of being able to be in a safe space in order for you to process this out. And at this point, you haven't allowed yourself the space to do that.
It's true. I've picked out a therapist, but I've not emailed them to see if they're taking new clients. It's like one step at a time, you know, like I know who it is. But no, you're
and
right.
And I know that it takes time, and it also doesn't feel, it's sort of like when you're detoxing, because there's a point,
yeah,
when you're doing a detox where you go to like 2-3 days, possibly even a week, where you feel horrible. You feel like you're like dying. You feel like you're dying. You feel like everything hurts. This can't be living. That's why when you go through a detox, you actually have to have a community around you. You have somebody who's gone through it. They can tell you where it's gonna get better. You have to just keep going. And if you try to like open up like the box of the feelings, if you're in a place where you cannot process it or have the capacity to go through it, you're just going to shut the door and you're going to keep doing what you're doing.
It's true.
Is what I'm
grinning
saying.
Only because I imagined an apathy detox has like Melissa Manchester's like, don't cry out loud.
Oh my God.
You know, like
distracted.
Like sad songs, tissues, movies about cancer and people dying. You know, like that's an apathy detox, right? I will say that since having had this epiphany, I also realized that it has bled over into like my closest relationships. Like that can bleed into your relationships with your children, distancing yourself emotionally from your children, from your spouse, being afraid that if you love them, something will happen to them and they'll leave. And then you, you know, you'll be broken again. So because you don't want to be broken again, you just, you love them, but also it stops right here.
Mm-hmm.
You won't go any further. And I don't want to have relations. It's honestly, it prevents hurt, but it prevents joy. It's not that fun to feel meh about everything all the time. I would like a t-shirt that says meh.
There's plenty of those. It seems like are many people that love that.
Apathy. It's, yeah. Anyway, so it's just something I wanted to see if you guys wanted to send us feedback about or think about. How that's bleeding into your daily life. Like, how much do you not care about your surroundings, about what you look like, about your relationship with other people? Because it just hurts. Because even if you aren't in a similar situation where I've already been through, like, tons of grief and heartache, but, like, just this situation now is very painful, too painful to deal with on some level. So, I don't know. I'm not saying – I certainly don't know how to deal with it because – I'm not a psychologist, but I like to play one on TV. So let's talk about it next time.
You look like that dude. Who is that guy?
Kramer.
With the hair. Yeah. Oh, my
God. I look
God.
Like Kramer.
Your hair is like straight. I mean, that would
because
be
because since I'm on the bed, I can just sort of like, this is what I would look like upside down. Guys, I'm on a gravity chair. Only this would be like this.
The cartoon Dilfert.
Oh, yeah. That's
now you got the Larry Fine.
What about the guy on Dilbert whose hair was like this? Yeah, exactly. You know?
Oh, my God.
The boss? Oh, my gosh.
Is that who you meant?
Look at that. That is just too much.
It does not deal with the laws of gravity. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. I'd love to know how it's leaking into your lives once you've thought about it. Let me know. Let us know. Let us know what you thought about this episode. You can find all the show notes at shepodcast.com. You can find us on social, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at shepodcast. You cannot, however, find us on Periscope. It's never happening again.
And it won't ever happen for anyone again.
It will never, ever happen again. Just so you know, if you're interested in coming to She Podcast Live, we are going to be raising the prices very, very, very soon. So go to shepodcast.com/live. Check out the ticket prices. They're the lowest now that they're ever going to be. And join us in Arizona. You can also buy a virtual ticket. You can always switch it up later. shepodcast.com/live. I think we're ending on a weird note, but it's cool. We will see you next time. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye.